Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Football Garbage Time NFL Podcast. This is Akun Wong, and I'm the editor-in-chief of Football Garbage Time, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Adam Aniva of the Burgundy and Gold Report. Hey, Adam, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going, man?
Well, it's going really badly for me, and I think you know why. And I know no one wants to hear me rant, but I'm super disappointed that my Illini managed to lose to Loyola Chicago yesterday. That really, really sucked. Ruined my weekend. But you know what didn't suck? Kyle Pitts, tight end out of University of Florida, 4.46, 40-yard dash. What do you think of that, man?
You know, I have him as one of my favorite prospects in this class, but you're talking up a guy who probably went, he was going to go somewhere between maybe 8 to 15, but now this guy's top 5, because you're talking about all the receivers in the draft right now. We saw what Kyle Pitts his production with. Now you're saying a guy that's nearly 6'5", 230-something from the 4.46. I think this guy just jumped in the top 5. So, even a team like your Bears, you know, that might be, you know, a team just has to think about making a move for him because he's that good.
Right, because last year we had 9 tight ends, so why not make it 10 this year, right? Because clearly we have no other problems to address, so we might as well get the best possible tight ends in the NFL. It's like a friend of mine when I played fantasy football years ago, and he's like, you know what? I'm going to draft every kicker, because then you guys are going to have no good kickers. And I'm like, all right, you do that, man. You do that. It doesn't work in the real NFL either, okay? Anyway, hey, we got a lot to talk about today, as there have been bunches of big signings across the NFL over the last week, and we got a lot to break down. Plus, we have another DIR prospect of the week. So, man, let's just go ahead and get this rolling. All right, let's hit the wide receivers first, and we'll start at the top of the list with a big one, Kenny Golladay going to the New York Giants. The New York Giants made a huge splash in free agency, signing arguably the best available free agent wide receiver in Kenny Golladay, formerly with the Detroit Lions, to a 4-year, $72 million contract. It took about 24 hours, but Golladay got the long-term contract and guaranteed money, which $40 million that he wanted. 27-year-old is a legit number one receiver, at least that's what we think, coming out of Detroit, something New York has not had since trading away OBJ. And, of course, my Bears falling woofully short, offering him $12 million on a 1-year contract. Wow, what the heck, Bears? But I'll rant more about that later. Why don't you tell me, what do you think about Kenny Golladay and the New York Giants?
I'll tell you, the salary was a little more than I expected. I knew it wasn't going to be the Amari Cooper type money, but, you know, I did hear that the signing bonus was a key to him, and he got $17 million up front. In saying that, you know, they have some weapons right now. So, you know, you hear, you know, everybody on Good Morning Football talking about the NFC East. You know, they went from probably a joke last year to probably definitely one of the strongest, at least in the NFC, all-around divisions, because they're just making upgrades, because you have Adoree Jackson is upgraded. He's going to be their slot corner. And then, of course, they brought back Leonard Williams. And, you know, that overachieving defense, you know, they added him a couple more pieces in the draft. I think the Giants are a legit contender for the NFC's crown. And Kenny Golladay, the issue with him is, you know, overall speed. I like what he can do, but I do see teams in the division, especially the teams that did address the defense part of it, will be able to, you know, hang with him. But I think he is in a decent situation. I'm just not a Daniel Jones fan, so if they had a better quarterback, I think they, you know, have a lot higher upside. But I'm just not convinced the kid can stay healthy. So, but all in all, good move with the Giants.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because, you know, I felt the same way. Obviously, Daniel Jones is the weak link in that entire group. But if you look at the rest of that skill group, I mean, you got Kenny Golladay. You add that to Saquon Barkley, Sterling Shepard, Darius Slayton, Evan Engram. And I got to say this because I'm a Notre Dame guy, but they got Kyle Rudolph too. So, hey, you got a nice backup. You know, maybe a two tight end, but a veteran on the line, if nothing else. I mean, he's got a lot of weapons. I mean, that's a pretty significant group of weapons to be handed to. And if Daniel Jones can't make that work, I think we've proven once and for all that it's time to move on. I might feel that way already, honestly, if I was a Giants fan. But that being said, but you know, if you can't win with this group of guys, there is a bit deeper, worse problem you got to deal with here. But big splash, you know, Kenny Golladay His services were up for grabs everywhere. A lot of places, like my Bears, gave them this one-year deal, although they undersold that 1 year pretty dramatically. He wanted a multi-year deal. He wanted a lot of guaranteed money. He gets it. He gets it in New York. We'll see how that goes. Let's move on to the next wide receiver that made a little bit of a splash, the Washington football team, signing Curtis Samuel, formerly of the Carolina Panthers, to a three-year, $34.5 million contract. Samuel gets $24.5 million guaranteed and reunites with his ex-teammate at Ohio State, Terry McLaurin. So, hey, this sounds like an interesting mix. We all like Curtis Samuel. He was kind of misused in Carolina and for many, many, many games. What do you think about this move?
And I love it because from the beginning, Corey Davis was, my number one target. And after he went, although I love Kenny Golladay, as far as overall fit, like you said, the connection with Ian McLaurin, I actually have an article coming out, the OSU connection with these guys. It's about fit. So, you get a young guy, you get him under $10 million, which next year we're going to see just how much of a bargain that is because the salary is going to increase. So an under $10 million contract for 3 years. This is a guy that they'll be able to flex out of the backfield, slot all over the place. Because I've heard a lot of Washington fans say, well, okay, they've got the slot solidified. No, not so fast. What he is he's just a weapon. And I think that I agree. North Turner didn't use him right. And what happened is when Scott Turner, took over the last four games, you did see him, being used more in the backfield with tight ends, similar to how they used Logan Thomas last year. So I think you'll see Washington add more weapons in the draft, more wide receivers, more speed, looking at teams like Kansas City as a model because now you have two guys that are 4.3 speed between McLaurin and Samuel. So there's a clear effort to upgrade the speed position. They brought back Cam Sims on a restricted. They got Antonio Gilden last year. So they got their tall guys. They got their big possession guys. So I like what Washington's doing. I think that another tight end will be nice in the draft, but, man, Curtis Samuel will be able to do a lot of creative things. The question is, what is he going to be expected to do early on? So it may take a couple games, might even be mid-year before we see him break out. But, I definitely have him as, 700-800-yard receiver, 5-6 touchdowns a game. But you'll see him a lot in the backfield. It'll be interesting for sure.
Yeah, and I we'll talk more about this later. So I'll just say it. Ryan Fitzpatrick there with these two guys, that could be some fireworks. There could certainly be some fireworks here. And if you guys are fantasy football players, I love the way that Curtis Samuel now makes for a very intriguing wide receiver two for all fantasy football leagues because I think there's just so much upside there. All right, let's go to the next guy on the list. It's DeSean Jackson, who's now gone over to the Los Angeles Rams. They signed him. He's DeSean Jackson released by the Philadelphia Eagles recently. They got him on a one-year contract in Los Angeles. No terms yet available, but it's likely relatively modest since the Rams don't have a lot of money to spend. And the last time – now, keep in mind, last time he logged a full 16-game season was in 2013. That was a freaking long time ago, 2013. Despite that, though, he still managed to lead the league in yards per reception three times since then. So in incomplete season, still managed to lead the league in yards per reception three times. And the last time he topped 1,000 yards was during his three-year stint with your Washington football team. Unsurprisingly, those were three seasons where the Rams head coach Sean McVay served as your offensive coordinator. So this is very interesting to me. Less so about DeSean Jackson, more so about the fit. So what do you think about DeSean Jackson to the Los Angeles Rams?
Yeah, and I actually thought he would go there last year. But for me, as long as he continues to maintain the speed, he definitely doesn't have the pure speed that he had when he was coming out, but he really hasn't lost a ton. He just can't stay healthy. But, in saying that, like you mentioned McVay probably utilized him better than any offensive coordinator. And I'm even talking about Philadelphia because Washington found ways to scheme him open with Pierre Garçon on the other side. And I think with what they have going with the Rams, it's help. If he can play, let's just say 10-12 games, that's a huge success for them. And 10-12 games, we could still be talking about 700-plus yards for him, five deep ball touchdowns, because that's what he does. He's a home run hitter. Asking him to do anything underneath is out of the question. If you're going to ask him to put in the blocking game, it's out of the question. So what you're going to pretty much see him is coming on third down. He's going to be your third down guy, and it'll be an incentive-laden contract, and most of it will be surrounded by playing time and starts, in my opinion. But, for a team that doesn't have much money, I think that's a really good get for them.
Yep, most definitely, and particularly because Josh Reynolds has moved along, and he's the next guy on our list, and I'm intentionally keeping Corey Davis after him because I want to talk a little bit more about Corey Davis. But Josh Reynolds, obviously now left the Los Angeles Rams. He's been replaced, obviously. I mean, he's been kind of a wide receiver 3-4 anyway there, but he's now signed by the Tennessee Titans, very interestingly. Details are pretty scarce about that contract, but Reynolds reportedly turned down an offer from the Chiefs in order to sign with the Tennessee Titans. So this is interesting, a little bit of a domino effect. What do you think about Josh Reynolds going to the Tennessee Titans?
I like the fit because I've watched him since he's come out, you know, improved his blocking ability, and I think he'll finally be with, you know, a good prospect in A.J. Brown that is way ahead of his years in that department. So I think, you know, between Reynolds, A.J. Brown, and what they have going over there, I think with the run game, which is still going to be the focus this year, you know, there's no doubt about it. That is
their identity.
Right, right. But I
definitely
think, you know, I think it's a really good move as far as overall output. He would be a guy that I jumped all over in fantasy unless it was a late round guy.
Right.
But as far as fit, what they can do with Tennessee, I like it.
Yeah, me too. I really do like the fit. I think it is something where they can use him in many different ways. And you're right. I think for fantasy purposes, clearly Titans still a run heavy system. He's going to be a little bit of a spot starter. I mean, he's not going to be consistent from week to week. We saw how that impacted A.J. Brown being one of the best receivers
right.
in the league, still just not being consistent week to week because they don't need him. Because when you have King Henry,
yeah.
sometimes he has to run, he runs for 300 yards and 5 touchdowns
right.
or something, you know. So
and
who
he's
needs
getting
to
the
throw
ball in the receiving game, too. So,
yeah
it's
right.
like, you know, if you're running back, it's still, they're basically taking, you know, targets away from, you know, guys that were there like Corey Davis and other guys, and people were judging them on that. But the fact is, with Tennessee, you know, it was the tight end, it was Brown, and it was the run game. So basically,
yep.
I think they'll find a way to be more diverse this year. But again, like we said, this is not a guy that you got to jump all over in fantasy.
That's right. That's right. And of course, that brings up the big news about Corey Davis, who has now been signed by the New York Jets. And of course, Corey Davis leaving the Tennessee Titans. So you can see this, we've got this nice little domino effect going on here. But Corey Davis signed to a 3-year, $37.5 million contract, includes $27 million guaranteed. He'll join 2020 second-rounder Denzel Mims and the reliable slot receiver Jameson Crowder in New York. And he will also join a big, fat question mark at quarterback. Because that is going to be the most interesting question to me. But let me toss it over to you first. What do you think about Corey Davis and the New York Jets?
You know, first of all, start with the salary. That to me, that's a steal. Because, again, when the salary cap goes up next year, this guy's not even going to be in the top probably 10-12 range for salaries. And
mm-hmm.
I just love the fit with, like you mentioned, Mims on the other side. You know, that's exactly what I was going to get to. He's going to be the receiver that everyone needs to look for this year. The
yep.
question is who's throwing him the ball.
Yep.
I do think, and, you know, I'm starting to come around to the idea more. I think that they're going to get a godfather offer from some team looking to get to number two. You know, for a while I've been saying Zach Wilson. I still think he's the second best quarterback, but I think Lance really blew a lot of GMs away at his pro day. So I think his stock too might be a little, you know, high for a lot of people's liking, but I think with the teams that need quarterbacks, they're not going to take a chance on, you know, after the top five or so. So I think that they're going to trade back, and they're just going to solidify that offensive line. They'll roll with Donald for, you know, the rest of the year. And I can
yep.
still see them, you know, maybe not the best fit, but Mac Jones, you know, that could be an option depending on how far he falls in the first round. But I think
sure.
that they're going to have so many picks. They'll be able to get another quarterback behind him. And if it's somehow, you know, you could see Darnold get that early pull this year, you know, with somebody that they draft. But I think that they're just going to invest right now in that offensive line and just building that defense, because the quarterback issue, they could grab one for sure. But you got to know that if they can trade back, there's so many more positions. So right now, to me, their receivers are set. You know, they don't have to look anybody, you know, on day one or day two, in
right.
my opinion. Just build that line, build the trenches on both sides, and, you know, they'll have a competitive team.
Yeah, I agree. And I was always a fan of Corey Davis coming into the NFL, and he just never really fit well in Tennessee. You know,
right.
it just never really happened for him. Last year, his best year, and even in that run-heavy scheme, he still had 984 yards, 5 touchdowns. So clearly he has the capability to fit into a scheme which allows him to get more looks, get more opportunities. I think going to the Jets is a great idea. I love that idea of sticking with Darnold for another year. There's no reason to get rid of him right away. I mean, I'm still on the fence of whether he's a long-term solution, but he certainly is not a bad, you know, part-time solution, I mean, at least for now. And if you're not getting Trevor Lawrence, and listen, I hate Clemson as much as anybody that doesn't come from Clemson. But Trevor Lawrence is the real deal, I think. I think if you get him, that's great. Anybody else? I think there's some questions. I think there's some questions out there. So, you know, why I love the idea of trading back, solidifying an offensive line, and maybe, you know, take a swing at a quarterback late in the first or sometime in the early second and see how it goes. Because you're right. You got your wide receivers. You got Corey Davis. You got Denzel Mims. You got Jameson Crowder. That's all set, you know, just set up, you got to find the run pick piece to slide on in there and then you're good to go. All right. So let's turn on to the last wide receiver signing, quote unquote, that we're going to talk about today. And then we're going to talk about some wide receivers who are still out there. But the Pittsburgh Steelers re-signed Juju Smith-Schuster to a 1-year, $8 million contract. This is interesting to me. It's clearly a prove-it deal after an underwhelming age 24 season for Juju. But it's you know, he underperformed mostly due to bizarre usage because they really kind of used him as a possession receiver only. And it's interesting how he's going to actually prove it. You know, I'm using air quotes here. If he's going back to the same Steelers, using him the same way. I mean, the Chiefs and the Ravens reportedly gave him similar deals. I see a lot more upside with him going to the Chiefs or the Ravens. But he decided to come back, give it another run of Big Ben. What are your thoughts of Juju Smith-Schuster re-signing with the Steelers on a 1-year deal?
Well, the 1-year deal, I think, you know, his agent probably justified, you know, they didn't want to get into anywhere where there'd be 2-3 years because, with, again, I'll be redundant, but the salary cap going up nearly $30 million next year is going to be appealing. In saying that, I think he made a big mistake because I see Pittsburgh, you know, going nowhere this year. I think they're going to be, go back dramatically. I think Big Ben is going to get hurt early on, and our old buddy Washington fans, Dwayne Haskins, is probably your backup there right now with what else they got going over there. So I just, you know, I like what they have going on in defense over there, but I think their offense is a disaster. Villanueva left, Pouncey retired. Their offensive line, if they don't dedicate this draft to the offensive line and maybe some skill positions, they're going to be in trouble because they're letting Connor walk. Right now, their running backs are just not impressive to sign these veterans. And, you know, since they were doing it for years now, just try to plug in somebody, they really have to invest, you know, some draft capital in building back this offense. Because at this stage in his career, you know, Big Ben is not going to just make stars out of all these other guys. I like their receivers. I like what they have going on. But he's got to get protection. So build that line up and then, you know, go from there. But I don't think this is going to be a very good year for Pittsburgh at all. So this was a bad move, in my opinion.
Totally agree. I don't think he should have gone back there. I personally, if I were him, I got a 1-year deal with the Chiefs, Ravens, I would have taken that instead. All right, let's go ahead and hit the bell on that part of this show. Go to the free agent wide receivers who are still out there. I got two in particular that I'm thinking about here. Adam, first, Sammy Watkins, still out there, but he's now visiting the Baltimore Ravens. And then after that, he's scheduled to visit the Indianapolis Colts. So what are your thoughts about Sammy Watkins, where he should go, what's his fit, and what's his outlook?
Yeah, I'm surprised that if a team gives him a legitimate contract before the draft, because, you know, with this draft being so rich in receiver, you know, we're talking about all the way to, you know, fourth with fifth round. I see guys that can come in and be starters at, you know, certain wide receiver positions. So I'd be surprised. But again, we heard earlier that, you know, there was talk of Kansas City giving him 3 years around $16 million. That's not a little surprising to me, and it's not official. But if he can get that, I definitely see him returning to Kansas City. But right now, I wouldn't be surprised if it's – because you got to understand, a lot during this time, agents are putting a lot out there. They know the draft is quickly approaching. So if he's going to get it, it's going to get done in the next couple of days. Otherwise, I could see, you know, teams wait until after the draft. Because if they do, if he does that, they'll definitely lose some money. So I think he'll sign with one of the teams you mentioned, probably, even if it's a 1 year – $15 million guaranteed. I could see him doing that, but I'm not a huge Watkins fan, to be honest with you.
Yeah, no, me neither. And I was a Watkins fan when he started off in Buffalo, and it just really didn't go anywhere after that. And of course, injuries also all kind of plagued his career. Of course, that second team he's visiting, the Colts, has their own receiver issues now. T.Y. Hilton on the fence about whether they're going to get him back or not. He had a little bit of a letdown year last year, but, you know, then the team out-succeeded itself. So they were pretty successful, essentially, without him. Came on strong at the end of the year, though. What are your thoughts about T.Y. Hilton?
Man, I really like him. To be honest with you, I'm a little surprised. I thought a team would have probably snatched him up. I think this definitely is a money issue. I've heard, you know, they looked at Samuel contract, but the thing is he's a lot younger and with a lot more upside. I think a lot of people are thinking Hilton's definitely on the down part of his career and maybe one, two decent years left in him. So I think that he's definitely someone that better just sign because after the draft's going to have a hard time. You know, with the way Philadelphia has been going, you know, I understand that they got Rieger in the draft and some people might look at Rieger and him, you know, close. But I think T.Y. Hilton in Philadelphia just makes too much sense to me. You know, with Fulgham, what they have going on over there, I think they'll address that position early in the draft. Either they're going to go with Pitts tight end, which I hope not, or, you know, one of the big-name receivers like Waddle or any of those guys. So in the end, I think that that is probably the best landing spot. But, again, it's really going to come down to, you know, what is he looking for. But I think it's a one-year deal for him probably in Philadelphia. That's going to be my guess.
Yeah, I would actually love to get T.Y. Hilton on the Bears, and I'll talk more about the Bears a little bit later because they make me sad what they're doing right now. But, you know, T.Y. Hilton I think would actually make me a little happy. And I still remember actually watching T.Y. Hilton playing at Florida International and the Beef O'Brady Bowl in 2011. They called him T.Y. Goodbye because he was so freaking fast. I remember seeing him in that bowl game going like, this guy's got, you know, he's got wheels, man. He's got wheels, and he runs good routes. And I thought, how come I haven't really paid much attention to him until now? And, you know, he's proven to be a real mainstay in the NFL. Okay, let's turn to the other position that's really interesting. And we're going to start with the aforementioned Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's been signed by the Washington football team, formerly of the Miami Dolphins. He's been signed to a one-year, $10 million contract. Apparently another $2 million is available through incentives. And Fitzpatrick has noted publicly that he'll be competing for the starting job. No one's handing him the job. He'll be competing with Tyler Heinicke. Of course, Heinicke got just $8.75 million for 2 years, so it seems pretty clear to me who the Washington management expects to win that competition. But what are your thoughts with Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Honestly, you know, there's been a lot of Washington fans who, you know, have continued to complain about, you know, because the narrative is the turnovers. That's the narrative that everybody says with Ryan Fitzpatrick. But just like any free agent Washington gets, I'll just go back and look at the tape. And with me, what it comes down to is the guy is just all about the moment. And there's not many quarterbacks out there that embrace the backup role. But, you know, I heard him talking with Ross Tucker. It was a great episode. Definitely, you know, check it out, Ross Tucker Show. They were talking to him about, you know, what was it like? Because he really was not given a chance. And Buffalo probably was one of the few chances he got. But after that, he just said he embraced his role as, you know, somebody that could come in not just to be a backup, but to really – become a locker room leader. And I don't know about you, but I have not really seen too many backups in my time that have came in and just demanded as much respect as he has, especially with Miami. You know, you had two situations last year with Miami where they pulled Tua out of the game. And, you know, one that we shouldn't forget, that Raiders game, and I mentioned in my article where they were down by 2 points. They were started at their own 21-yard line with 20 seconds. You know, that was the notorious, you know, face mask play.
Yes.
The Raiders grabbed the face as he was throwing it.
Did
get a tight end Gesicki downfield. They got to the 41, but they still weren't in field goal range. They were at the 41, but the flag came out. Put him in field goal range, kicked the field goal. 1 second, the game over.
Yeah,
you know, that's
it.
The thing. The issue is if you're going to say he's a turnover machine, he's, you know, not a gamer, I say point to that. You know, if you listen to the guy, in the last 2 years, he's changed the way he's played. You know, the whole gunslinger mentality that I've been preaching is something that Washington maybe needs. But what he also has done is he's also taken a lot what's been given to him underneath. And I think that's why Washington is a perfect fit, because when you have, you know, players like McLaurin, now Samuel, you know, Antonio Gibson is going to start to put more people, you know, more fans on the map, especially in fantasy next year. Because he's coming out as a straight receiver, they used him a lot as running back. They'll have him and McKissick. But you'll see that once they have that established for him, you know, you talk about checkdowns. Washington has the ability to take checkdowns for 50-yard touchdowns. So, to me, Fitzpatrick doesn't have to come in and be a 300-yard air it out all game, but he's going to do it 2-3 times a game. And I'll just say this one thing about Fitzpatrick. He finished, I think there was a 7-game stretch to end that season. He was number one in the NFL for deep ball percentage, and he was number three for off-target percentages on long balls over than 30 yards, third.
Wow.
So the last 7 games, he was one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL in long ball passes. And, you know, anybody can go back and forth about what he did and can't do, but, man, last 16 starts, 4,414 yards, 27 touchdowns, 13 interceptions with a 65.2 completion rate. I think Washington, this is the best that they were going to get right now, so I'm happy.
Yo, I love Ryan Fitzpatrick. Everywhere he goes, I root for any team he plays for. So I guess I'm going to have to root for Washington this year. But he is fun to watch. He is definitely a gamer. He can make all sorts of things happen. So understandably, sometimes he implodes and it's like a 3 or 4 turnover game. But the fact of the matter is that at any point in time, there's very few quarterbacks that are like this. At any point in time, he can bring you back. You know, he can bring you back. He can fire away and get it done. Not a lot of quarterbacks are like that. And I'm going to compare him. I'm going to contrast him to the Chicago Bears signing Andy Dalton. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this because this is how I felt about the entire thing. Formerly of the Dallas Cowboys, everyone knows. 1 year, $10 million contract. That sounds familiar. Exactly what they're playing, Fitzpatrick. Another $3 million available through incentives. Like I said, all I can say is yikes. I'm not sure how Dalton is an upgrade over Mitchell Trubisky and Nick Foles, particularly with essentially only a disgruntled A-Rob to throw to. Maybe he got a little bit of tight end action. Cole Kmet last year was pretty good coming in his first year. There's not much else you can do. And Andy Dalton wasn't good when he had a good set of targets in Dallas. Now he's coming to the Bears. Man, I obviously hate the move, and I'm a Bears fan. What are your thoughts?
I'm confused with what Chicago is doing because I just heard a rumor a couple of days ago that Anthony Miller is on the trade block.
Yes,
explain that
he
to
is.
Me. I think he's one of the most underrated receivers that nobody's talking about because they're trying to put everything in for Allen Robinson. He's pretty much showing he does not want to be in Chicago. So, I understand why teams do it. You know, Washington is doing it with Brandon Scherff right now. And he doesn't. It seems like he just wants more money. But to me, with Robinson, he doesn't want to be there. So I think Chicago is focusing way too much on him and not the rest of the team. And, you know, we were joking about the tight ends, and I agree. I love Cole Kmet. But, man, having a tight end, too, can really do a lot more than, you know, what he brings to the team. Because I think when you have a guy like Dalton, you're going to need those check down tight ends. You're going to need the short stuff because he's not going to get it downfield. So,
no,
you know, in
not.
The end, Andy Dalton, if he is the presumed starter, which I guess he is, I wouldn't expect him to last much longer. This is probably the last stop in his career.
Yeah, which sucks because we're giving him $10 million to probably ride the bench for about half a season. And he told everybody, he told the media that he was guaranteed the starting position. That's why he went to the Chicago Bears. And nobody was more excited than he was when the Russell Wilson rumors went away. But, oh my goodness, you're swinging for Russell Wilson, hoping to get maybe Deshaun Watson, and you end up with Andy Dalton. It's like, what in the world just happened there? Biggest punked ever is what that was. Biggest punked ever. I felt totally punked. Anyway, listen, I could go on and on about it, but something more interesting than that is that time. It's that time, everybody. That's right. DIR, Prospect of the Week. What you got for us this week, Adam?
All right. Yeah, our diamond in the rough small school guy tonight is Quintero Cole out of Alcorn State, safety, 6'3", 190. He's a two-time HBCU All-American, SWAC All-Conference first team honors. He finished the first year, he did not record an interception, but the following 3 years, he actually totaled 7 interceptions. You know, this is the typical, you know, new wave strong safety we're seeing, not the box safety guy, 6'3", 190 again, plays bigger than he is. He plays to his size, lean build, but not skinny at all. He has an NFL frame that, you know, he could definitely level out another 5-10 pounds, but I really like this guy in, you know, a zone scheme, probably a cloud system, because I think that if you're going to isolate him, you'd be in trouble. But I think if you have a good defense, Seattle is a perfect, you know, fit for this guy. We're talking about that 6'3", big corner safety they're looking at. You know, he was used in the slot. He was used in deep center field. He was used around the line. So, you know, he definitely is one of those all-around good guys. You know, most experts have him in that day three range around that fifth round, you know, area. But I think teams looking for, you know, some coverage help, especially a guy that can really lay the wood, you know, around the line of scrimmage. Quintero Cole, Alcorn State, you know, he's definitely a guy to keep an eye on. I'll definitely have an article coming about on him soon because I think he's a must-have for, you know, any team in this draft, especially if you're talking about day three, fifth, sixth round. That could be a diamond in the rough right there, man.
Yeah, well, that's a great one. That's terrific. And anybody, a lot of teams looking to improve on defense. So totally somebody to keep an eye on. And, of course, let's hit the air horn on the show. It always goes so fast. That's all the time we got this week, everybody. But Adam, anything you'd like to promo this week?
You know, I'm getting back into the swing things. We did the Doc Walker special. That was special to me. I got to thank you for that. And so, you know, I've met a lot of great people after that, you know, got on a lot of other shows, but, you know, coming up, we're approaching draft month. You know, we're only a few days away before we're going to get to April. We're going to have a lot more draft content coming out. The burgundyandgoldreport.com. We're going to have our Nick Bolton player card dropping tomorrow with my contributor, Paul. You know, everyone that's a Washington fan or just a draft fan needs to check it out. As always, we'll continue to have Washington content, but right now it's about the prospects. So, again, the burgundyandgoldreport.com, we're going to have new player prospect cards. In that, we're going to have full evaluation, full highlight reel, and just follow us on Twitter at the BNG Report, man.
That's right, everybody. Go check it out if you are a draft fan. There's no better resource for you. Check it out. It's not about just – I mean, if you're a Washington fan, definitely go there. You should be ashamed of yourself for not checking it out already if you haven't already checked it out. But if you're a draft fan, go check it out, theburgundyandgoldreport.com. Lots of great info there. And there we are, you know. Whew, another episode in the book. You can follow
always
me
good.
At FB Garbage Time. Yeah, it's always good times over here. Always good times, and we make it nice and quick. Thanks again for listening and wasting time with us. Until next time, enjoy your NFL week, because I certainly won't, because the Bears have run out of money, and they spent it on Andy Dalton.
Oh, boy.
What a mess.
Oh, boy.